Hello. Sorry for the delay. I was making some oolong tea. We'll be starting the show in just a moment.
This is from 72 also. About being on the road, it's called Turn the Page. Yeah.
One, two, three, and...
On a long and lonesome highway east of Omaha, you can listen to the engine moaning out his one long song. You can think about the woman or the girl you knew the night before.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, hello, hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It's 1903 UTC, which means we're running a little bit behind. Just a little bit. Let's go ahead here. Oh, look at that. I got some email. I'm launching everything. All right, beautiful. I've been added to the Dubious Goals Committee, Dubious Artifacts by Mail Subcommittee. So, I'm now obligated to let you know. Please stick around at the end of the show, or at 1930 UTC, is Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, a fun show that happens every single day at 1930 UTC. And yeah, so that's what's going on in my email. Let's go ahead and jump over to Com. Com is your friend. It is the best way to chat, in my opinion. All you want to do is type com at the command prompt, C-O-M, then you press G for go to, and then type anon radio, all lowercase, all one word. And when you do that, you'll be brought to the anon radio room, which is where all the cool and fun people are hanging out. Let's see, who's hanging out in here? We just drop an R to see who's recently been talking. And we can see that Publius is here, Stug, Tobe, X1, and a whole other host of folks. So, hello. Welcome. Welcome. Thanks for being here. And I'm glad X1's here. We've got a story out of Belgium to start us off, I believe. Where did you go? There you are. So, oh, hey, Nock. Welcome. Welcome. Oh, that would be kind of fun. All right, let's get going. We're going to start the show the way we pretty much always do, and that, my friends, is with
world news.
That's right. And I've been watching a lot of Star Trek, so don't forget,
resistance is futile.
All right. So first up, Belgian court jails trafficking gang leader over migrant lorry deaths. A Belgian court sentenced a Vietnamese man to 15 years in prison on Wednesday after convicting him of... I thought something was crawling on the wall beside me and it freaked me out. But it was not. It was merely an extension cord falling down. Anyway, a Belgian court sentenced him... to 15 years in prison on Wednesday after convicting him of being the ringleader in the trafficking of 39 migrants found dead in a lorry. Vo Van Hong, 45, was found guilty of leading a cross-channel people trafficking operation that's been linked to a truck that was found full of corpses on an English industrial estate in October 2019. At least 15 of the 39 dead had passed through the Belgian-based trafficking network, which operated two safe houses in the Anderlecht district of Brussels for migrants heading to Britain. The 2019 discoveries on the Grays Industrial Park east of London was one of the worst involving migrants in recent years. The victims, 31 men and 8 women, aged between 15 and 44, were all Vietnamese, died from suffocation and hypothermia in the confined space of the truck, which arrived on a ferry from Zeebrugge. So yeah, very scary indeed. Welcome, A.E., thank you for being here. And yeah, that's what's going on in Belgium. Way to go. Courts are working there. Now, let's jump over to New Zealand and talk about Tonga. We shared an image, or I shared an image a couple days ago, showing how giant the smoke cloud was. Well, New Zealand Navy ships are headed to Tonga with water and supplies. Two New Zealand Navy vessels will arrive in Tonga on Friday, carrying much-needed water and other supplies for the Pacific Island nation, reeling from a volcanic eruption and tsunami, and largely cut off from the world. Hundreds of homes in Tonga's smaller outer islands have been destroyed, and at least 3 people were killed after Saturday's huge eruption triggered tsunami waves, which rolled over the islands, causing what the government has called an unprecedented disaster. With its airport smothered under a layer of ash, and communications badly hampered by the severing of an undersea cable, information on the scale of devastation has mostly come from reconnaissance aircraft. For the people of Tonga, we're heading their way now with a whole lot of water, Simon Griffiths, captain of the HMNZS. That's Hotel Mike November Zulu Sierra. Oh, I always say this wrong, but this is the original name for New Zealand. It's A-O-T-E-A-R-O-A. I'll put it in calm because I always say it wrong. But it stands for, according to Publius and Comm here, thank you, Her Majesty's New Zealand Ship, which would make sense. And then I've heard a bunch of New Zealand indigenous people say this word. I just can't get it. Oh, Publius is helping. Aotearoa. Aotearoa. There we go. Thank you. There's a bunch of Maori people on TikTok that I've seen, and they often are talking about different indigenous rights issues there. So anyway, Griffiths said his ship was carrying 250,000 liters of water and had the capacity to produce another 70,000 liters a day, along with other supplies. New Zealand's foreign ministry said the Tongan government has approved the arrival of Aotearoa and the HMNZS Wellington in the COVID-free nation, where concerns about a potential coronavirus outbreak are likely to complicate relief efforts. Tonga said its water supplies have been contaminated from the Hunga Tonga Hunga Ha'apai volcano, which erupted with a blast heard 2,300 kilometers away in New Zealand. It also sent tsunami waves across the Pacific Ocean. Other countries and agencies, including the UN, are drawing up plans to send aid. A Chinese foreign ministry spokesman said it would send help, including water and food, when the archipelago's main Fuamotu International Airport reopens. It was not damaged, but was covered in ash, which is being cleared manually. We thought it would be operational yesterday, but it hasn't been fully cleared yet because more ash has been falling, Fiji-based UN coordinator Jonathan Veach said on Wednesday. So, we'll see how this goes, but it's good that the world is responding and helping out. It's kind of what I found interesting, what was news to me, was the fact that this kind of response is possible even while there's concerns about COVID and infecting the nation and everything else like that. But yeah, as Publius points out, it's not like they have snow plows in Tonga, so clearing ash like that is a big chore. All right, well, let's talk about some more sad stuff. Israeli forces demolish Palestinian home in Sheikh Jarrah. Israeli forces tear down the house in overnight raid, displacing the family of 18 from their home. Israeli forces have destroyed the home of a Palestinian family in Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in occupied East Jerusalem, days after the family tried to stave off the demolition by threatening to blow up the house. Large numbers of Israeli police and special forces raided the Salhaya home and cordoned off the surrounding area at 3 a.m., which is 1 GMT. On Wednesday, the family told Al Jazeera that dozens of heavily armed forces broke into their home while they slept and assaulted family members, arresting 6 of them, including the head of the household, Mahmoud Salhaya. So, not really a big surprise to anybody that follows what's going on, but earlier, I don't know if it was earlier this year. No, we're in January. In 2021, maybe even in 2020, Israel and its abuse of Palestine really kind of came to light and was really big news, but it's kind of faded out. So I like to be sure and bring it up because Israel is still absolutely abusing and just shy of committing atrocities. I don't want to get heated. We'll just say that Israel is joyfully killing civilians and children because they can. All right. Yeah. Hey, Leonchi. Yeah. Really, really great. Absolutely amazing. All right. Well, what else is going on? Well, don't worry. The people who follow Islam, Muslim people, they can't find love in a lot of places. French senators have voted to ban hijab in sports competitions. The amendment proposed by a right-wing group was adopted with 160 votes to 143. The French Senate has voted in favor of banning the wearing of hijabs in sports competitions, arguing that neutrality is a requirement on the field of play. The French upper legislative house voted late on Tuesday in favor of amending a proposed law stipulating that the wearing of conspicuous religious symbols is prohibited to take part in the events and competitions organized by sports federations. See you, MetaQ. Thanks for being in comm. X1 points out chess. Never fall in love with the towers. Oh man, those are like my favorite piece. That's like my favorite piece in chess. So anyway, in their text, senators clearly said the amendment aims at banning the wearing of the veil in sports competitions. They added that the headscarves can put at risk the safety of athletes wearing them when they practice their discipline. The amendment, proposed by the right-wing group Les Républicains and opposed by the French government, was adopted with 160 votes in favor and 143 against. A commission composed of members from the Senate and the lower house should now gather to find a compromise on the text before it's published, meaning the amendment can still be erased. It's unclear whether the ban would be implemented for the 2024 Paris Olympics. The Olympic Organizing Committee did not immediately answer a request for comment. So, we'll see what goes on here, or I'm sure we'll find out soon. But yeah, that's what's going on there in France. And I find France really interesting because I feel like they're trying to be totally just citizens of the country, not really just be like pure people without like religion or without like religious ties and stuff. And so it's always interesting to see how France deals with religious rights. Let's see. Hey, welcome, Tin. Thanks for tuning in. And we got Publius chiming in. The radical Republicans enacted legislation like this over a century ago to try and suppress the influence of the Catholic Church. Hey. Very interesting. All right. Let's keep it going. It's almost time for some music. Oh my gosh. Because you know what? You can't hear him all the time, but this guy...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
I hear that guy from about 10 minutes after the show starts till I play a song. So, je ne suis pas religieuse aujourd'hui. That's my version of reading French. Coming to us from 10 in comp. All right, so let's talk about COVID real quick. We got two COVID stories, and then we'll play a song. Hanna Horka, Czech singer, dies after catching COVID intentionally. This is not suggested by anyone. A folk singer from the Czech Republic has died after deliberately catching COVID, her son has told the BBC. Hanna Horka, age 57, was unvaccinated and had posted on social media that she was recovering after testing positive, but then died 2 days later. Her son, Jan Rek, said she got infected on purpose when he and his father had the virus so she could get a recovery pass to access certain venues. The Czech Republic reported a number of COVID-19 cases on Wednesday. Mr. Rek and his father, who are both fully vaccinated, both caught COVID over Christmas, but he said his mother had decided not to stay away from them, preferring instead to expose herself to the virus. She should have isolated for a week because we tested positive, but she was with us the whole time. proof of vaccination or recent infection from the virus is required in the Czech Republic to gain access, entry, to many social and cultural venues, including cinemas, bars, and cafes. So, yes, this is a terrible idea. Don't do it. I know a lot of people seem to think, why don't I just do it? Don't. The government's recently introduced new measures to combat the rise, including mandatory testing for employees and school children. The isolation period for people who test positive but have no symptoms has been reduced from 14 days to 5, though. So, that's what's going on there. And coming in from Com, X1 loves the pets Danons. I'm not sure. That means something that I don't know. So, we'll keep it moving with our second COVID story. And this comes to us from Canada, the land of snow dusk. Ontario schools reopening amid calls for more COVID measures, which doesn't really make a lot of sense. School children in Canada's most populous province are going back to their classrooms this week after many parents said they were left scrambling to respond to the Ontario government's decision earlier this month to delay in-person learning. Ontario Premier Doug Ford, wasn't his brother the wild mayor? Ontario Premier Doug Ford announced on January 3rd that the province would push back the planned return to in-person classes from January 5th to January 17th due to rising COVID infections and hospitalizations linked to Omicron. Some public health experts had called for a longer closure period, cautioning that Omicron's threat to schools was high and calling for more targeted measures to prevent its spread. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau also recently said child vaccination rates were lagging and urged parents to get their children vaccinated. As of January 17, about 44% of children between the ages of 5 and 11 had had their first dose, compared with 86% of children aged 12 to 17. This is all in Ontario. But the way the Ontario government communicated its post-holiday school plans, saying first classes would resume on January 3rd, then on 5th, then on the 17th, raised frustrations among some parents who said the province gave them little time to prepare. Now, as thousands of students are set to go back to class this week, parents and public health experts have called on Ontario to make sure schools are safe, better explain its pandemic-related measures, and give families more time to plan ahead when it makes a decision. So, we shall see what happens. Doug Ford. I thought his brother is the one that passed away that was the famous one. Let's see. Control V. Doug Ford. Let's see what Wikipedia says, and then we'll play a song. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Doug Ford. Doug Robert Ford Jr., born November 20th, 1964, is a Canadian businessman and politician who served as the 26th and current Premier of Ontario since June 2018 and leader of the Progressive Conservative Party since March 2018. With his brother Randy, Ford co-owns Deco Labels and Tags, a printing business in Canada and the U.S. They got it from their dad. Oh, so is he the cocaine guy? Let's see, drugs. After his brother Rob Ford entered drug rehab in May 2014, Doug Ford commented that he would not rule out for running for mayor. Rob Ford returned from rehab and continued his campaign for mayor, but withdrew after he was diagnosed with an abdominal tumor and hospitalized. Doug Ford then entered the mayoral campaign in the last hour before the nomination deadline. Comments Ford made during the campaign received criticism for alleged bigotry, misogyny, and anti-Semitism, and critics accused him of conflict of interest and of drug dealing in the past. Boom! Well, that's fantastic. So there we go. 100% he has some drug dealing. What? Not necessarily the best guy. Anyway, we have gone way too long. This song is going to get cut about halfway, but it's called Sad But True.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. And SDF, my friends, that's powered by you. So thank you so much for being here and hanging out. Howdy and welcome, Ice303. Thanks for being here. And back bacon sounds delicious. I don't know. Maybe I'll order some bacon in groceries next year or next week. All right. We've got about 6 minutes to go before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope. And so let's run through some remaining headlines here with you. Kenyans are fighting to save their bees. Like in many other countries, bees are under threat. Loss of habitat and intensive farming practices, including the use of pesticides, have led to a drastic reduction in the population of pollinators in the last 30 years. The consequences can be catastrophic, as bees play a vital role in the food chain. The most serious challenge is environmental degradation, because people are cutting down trees because of population pressure. People want to settle, people want to establish farms, and every time people cut down trees, then this leads to a ripple of effects. For example, we know that honeybees survive on two products from plants, nectar and pollen. And every time you cut down trees, then you get rid of nectar and pollen, and this is the food for our bees, said the head of bees research, Dr. Iliad Muli from Southeastern Kenya University. So, hey, yep. Next year's groceries today. All right, let's keep moving. Blinken, Russia wants to divide Ukrainian society. And the ongoing warmongering between the two powers, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has accused Russia of trying to divide Ukrainian society as fears mount of a Russian invasion of Ukraine. An estimated 100,000 Russian troops have been deployed near Ukraine's borders, and Mr. Blinken, visiting Kiev, said Russia could launch an attack at very short notice. I've got lots of emotions about this. I haven't thought about it enough to have a good opinion. But Mr. Blinken promised relentless diplomacy to stop Russian aggression, which just sounds, it's just such an oxymoron to me. Relentless diplomacy. We're going to be so friendly to you. We're going to work so hard to not be enemies. You're going to regret it. So anyway, that's going on there. Don't hold your breath. Or maybe do hold your breath. Be sure you get your iodine tablets. How real is Russia's threat to deploy missiles to Latin America? Al Jazeera has a decent post about that today. We're running low on time, so I can't really go into it totally. But we'll just say like this. People spent hours in lines to buy Cuban oranges and bananas, while pricey Cuban-made rum and cigars were fashionable among the sophisticated Soviet youth of the 90s. So Russia said on January 14th that it could neither confirm nor exclude the deployment of Russian missiles to Cuba and Venezuela. To many Russians, the news was not just a threat. It was a reminder of the USSR's military and political might, its confrontation with the United States and the collective West, and of course, the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis. Known in the former USSR as the Caribbean Missile Crisis, it made the world think for several endless weeks that a nuclear war was imminent and unavoidable. Words of Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Rybakov that the deployment's possibility depends on actions by our U.S. counterparts were also a practical response to Western pressure on Moscow. So, that is what's going on there. So, yeah. Could we end up with missiles in Venezuela and Cuba? Yeah, sure. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe a nuclear winter will help us finally beat COVID. Fantability. U.S. officers charged with fatally shooting girl. So this is pretty good news. We talked about this, and it was really outrageous. Well, don't worry. U.S. prosecutors have charged three policemen with an 8-year-old girl's death, dropping a murder case against two teenagers who were initially held. The officers opened fire on a vehicle outside a high school football game near Philadelphia. The police in the United States kill children pretty often. And so I got this mixed up with another case where they killed a kid. This is in Philadelphia, not in California. Anyway, 27th of August, 2021, after hearing near Philadelphia, so this is where this happened, police thought armed suspects were in the car, but it was fantability. Prosecutors had argued the tragedy was caused by two teens who fired at each other nearby moments beforehand. The district attorney filed first-degree murder charges against the two young men in November. Prosecutors said the pair, aged 16 and 18, had initiated the deadly events and therefore bore responsibility for her death. Those charges were withdrawn. Instead, Sharon Hill, police officers Devin Smith, Sean Patrick Dolan, and Brian James Devaney are facing charges of voluntary manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter, and reckless endangerment. According to the Philadelphia Inquirer, the officers had been monitoring the crowd when they heard the gunfire about 140 feet away and turned to see a car heading towards them. The police fired 25 bullets, striking four people, including Fanta and her 12-year-old sister. The girl died in her mother's arms. So, we'll see what happens. But anyway, if you see a cop, try and avoid them. They can kill you and lie to you about it. That's all the time we got. So please stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe coming up in just a few seconds. And yeah, you can't mine Bitcoin in Kosovo. I think that's all the time. There's a bunch of stories. We just ran out of time.